praise his wonderful name. Amen. I thank you for the specials and testimonies and just everything that you bring to contribute to the service. And believe me, it does contribute. Thank you for following the leading of the Lord. And God bless you all. Thank you, musicians. Once again, nice to be back here with you. Just a couple of days ago, we heard from the UPS here in Tucson. They have 700 employees there, and they tested 85 employees and over a period of time and recently, and 43 came back with the test came back positive for coronavirus. So the reason why I tell you this is that there weren't 85 people saying, oh, I'm sick, or I think I got coronavirus. There were 85 people. Yeah. How many others out of the 700 that haven't been tested may or may not have it, right? Probably the 43 that were tested had no symptoms. So I'm just going to keep reminding you. As I was driving up, we got some unbelievers in the virus. As I was driving up, I saw some handshaking out in the parking lot. And then the mask goes on when you come in the church. So be the same thing out there that you are in here, right? Don't just do lip service to it, because you could have it and not know it. And you say, well, I feel fine. Well, what if you have it and you pass it on to somebody else? Do you still feel fine? Well, shall we close? Praise the Lord. I'm just going to keep reminding you until we get through this, because the virus doesn't care if you're a believer or not. I believe that we have a divine healer, but we still get sick, right? And we call upon him, and when we get sick and healing is manifested in our bodies, and you say, well, bless God, my faith says I won't get sick, but your faith doesn't work for somebody else. Right? So, once again, as Brother John mentioned, and as Brother Micaiah had mentioned, you're doing this for others. Amen. So just take this as an exercise. I'm going to do this for other people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not afraid, but we're also not foolish. Let's don't be foolish. This is avoidable. It turned out that they weren't wearing masks, and they weren't following the guidelines that had been put forward. And of course, they are now. They're wanting to shut the facility down. And so, if you don't get something in the mail, just realize that somebody shook somebody's hand. Hallelujah. The Overcoming Word, Part 9, Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans chapter 7. In verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Who are we married to? Him that was raised from the dead. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, people misinterpret this, and they say, see, this was Paul before his conversion, or see, this is you without the Holy Ghost, because how to perform that which is good, I find not. But you've got to follow the wording here. The wording here is that in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So in your flesh, how to perform that which is good, you find not. In your flesh, in your soul, is another story. Verse 21. I find then a law. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So as long as you and I are in this flesh, we have evil to contend with. You could be on the earth all by yourself, the last living person, and you're still going to have to evil to contend with. Amen? Because there's a law there. Praise the Lord. I can see this is not going to be shouting material, but in some ways it is, though. Hallelujah. Maybe bow our heads this evening. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for another opportunity to serve you, Lord, to praise you, to give you honor and glory, to sit at your feet to as you minister to us, Lord. Maybe our ears be open, Lord, to hear what's for us. And Lord, if it's something that's not for us, maybe not overthink it and analyze it and wonder if the pastor was in the flesh when he said it or if he's holding on to something. But realize, Lord, that there's a purpose to what's being said. And may we not carnalize things, Lord, but may we allow you to speak to us as you said that you would. And maybe we've gotten into routines of doing that. But Lord, if you're speaking to us, we know when you're speaking to us. And if it's something that's for us, may we receive it, Lord, as it was intended. And Lord, if it isn't for us, may we just not be concerned, but may we recognize that you're speaking to kindergarten through 12th grade, that you're speaking to people at all different levels and all different walks of life and all different backgrounds. And Lord, that's supernatural that you're able to do that, knowing what each and every one of us have need of. And Lord, perhaps some of the time or most of the time, we're not even aware of what's being dealt with or what's being received. Or Father, if everyone could just read, Lord, the texts and the emails that I get over and over and over again, in great detail of what was being dealt with or what was being encouraged or whatever it might be through the preaching of the word, which we had absolutely no idea of, Lord, how it would cause all of us to just look and say, Lord, speak to me, minister to my heart, speak to my need, help me to set aside my flesh, help me to set aside my thoughts and my cares, and Lord, just meet with me as I come. And Lord, we don't do that because so much of it is personal and it's not for public consumption. Each one that's giving these testimonies, many times there are testimonies that people want to give and give freely, and then there are others that it's no one needs to hear it, but it was for that person. And so, Lord, we realize that and we respect it, and we know, Lord, that you are mindful of those things as well. So we pray, Lord, that every time that we come together, that we would come in expectation, that we'd set aside, Lord, patterns of church that we've had over the years where we come and we analyze and question and second guess. And Lord, but instead we come and say, Lord, you said that you would speak to me, and I'm here to hear your word, and I'm going to receive it. And Lord, I'm going to benefit from it. And we commit ourselves into your hands once again, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So, when Christ is birthed in the soul, that life moves into the soul, and that life operates according to spiritual laws. There are laws that govern how that life is going to manifest in you, what it's going to do for you, how it works. And then we find that there are two sets of laws that are in the born-again believer. And of course, before we're born again, we imagine that there's just going to be one law in us. But there are two sets of laws. And I'm so glad that Paul broke this down for us, or else I might not ever understand why I find that there's a war taking place within me since I have been converted. Amen. And Satan might have gotten over. He might have gotten over on me when he points his finger and says, well, you know, if you were born again, if, you know, as he said to the Lord Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, if you were born again, you'd be perfect. And you would never again make a mistake. Does he say that to you? The new nature that's in you, it must be fed. It must be refreshed. And the new nature has a greater power in you than anything else that's in you. And it can overcome anything that's in you when you allow it to. But there are definitely always two opposites that are in you. And we know there's a perfect will and there's a permissive will that's put before you. And we'll face that every living day of our lives. There's a desire to go to church. And at the same time, there's a desire in your members maybe to sleep or to eat or to head for the hills or whatever it might be. Every day, there are things that raise up in you that you must battle against.
Right.
And that battle is enough. You don't need to go fight other people's battles. Your body can be moved by emotions. And what moved you can be of God. It can be caused by the Spirit of God, or it can be caused by your flesh, or it can be of the devil. But it's the same emotion. Are you with me?
Yes.
Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, without understanding, this sounds like you're still a sinner. This word law, it means anything established, anything received by usage, a custom, a precept, or an injunction. And in this particular phraseology that Paul uses here in the New Testament, the law of the mind is the law of the new birth. It's actually something that's taken place in your soul, but then it governs your mind and it governs your flesh. So when it's speaking of the law of the mind, think of the law of the new birth. There are laws that govern you according to that new birth. God writes his word in the law of your mind, and it can never be taken from you. What he's placed in your soul, you can never lose. What's in your soul has been sealed until the day of your redemption. And Satan cannot come into your soul and tempt you. Satan never tempts you in the soul, because you are hidden in him, in your soul, and Satan would have to get born again himself, get into Christ in order to have access. He has no access. He cannot tempt you in the soul.
Amen.
He cannot afflict you in the soul.
Amen.
He cannot torment you in the soul. And that's why there's peace and joy. You can have peace and joy and your mind could be bothering you something terrible. And at the same time, you are at rest. So you still have a natural law that's in your flesh, and that natural law says that others can reason with you, and you can listen to that, and you can say, yeah, you know, I see that, or I believe that, or, you know, and you're listening to it with your intellect. And if it isn't the Word of God, that thing will cause you trouble, and it will have to be dealt with by the Word at some point in time. It doesn't mean you're an unbeliever. You are a believer. But you allowed something into that other realm that has to be dealt with. Your soul is sealed. How long? To the day of your redemption. It's sealed, and so what's in your soul never gets away from you. You will never be an unbeliever again. You will never have the nature of fallen man in your soul ever again. You will never be a slave to sin ever again. You will not leave church and leave the message and say, you know, if you're a sister, oh, I want to cut my hair and wear pants and all that. No, it can't happen. When that happens, that's somebody that's unconverted. Because if it's taken place in your soul, you can't die any more than God can die. You can't go back. You can't become a caterpillar again once you become a butterfly. There's no way back. Hallelujah. So Paul is changed, of course, but he sees a law that governs him, and it's in him by the new birth. And then he sees another law that's in him that exists outside of the soul. And that law exists in the unconverted body. And these two laws war against one another. The law that's in your flesh wars against the law that's in your mind, which is referring to your soul. And the law that's in your soul wars against the law that's in your flesh. The law that's in your flesh, though, cannot overtake the law that's in the soul. The law that's in the soul reigns supreme and cannot be overtaken. But it can, the law that's in the flesh, it can bring you into captivity at times. Now, I know this sounds strange, but just bear with me. It can bring you into captivity at times. When you pray, something tries to hinder you. When you go to read your Bible, something tries to hinder you. Someone told me here recently, well, you know, I kind of have trouble streaming because, you know, I get distracted and have trouble concentrating. Well, it's your frame of mind and it's your flesh that's trying to, and what you have to do is war against that. What you have to do is say, look, I'm in church. I don't do this in church, in a church building, but I'm in church, whether I'm streaming or whether I'm here. So I'm not putting up with this. Don't be surprised by the opposition, but you're the one that has to overcome that. That power, that life that's within you. So the captivity is in your members, but not in your soul. Okay, I'm not getting a whole lot of amens on that, but I'll give you some examples. That law that's in your flesh, it aggravates you. That law that's in your flesh, it wars against you. But it doesn't defeat you. And it cannot change you. Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the law of sin and death is still in your body. The law of sin and death is still in your body. Oh, not mine. Well, then why is your hair turning gray? Where'd the wrinkles come from? Because death is still, it's your body's still under a law of death. When did that start? When you were born? You've been headed towards the grave ever since you came out of your mother's womb. So that law of sin and death, it's still in our bodies. You react out of aggravation. And what is that? That's the law of sin and death in your body. In your soul, you don't want to do that. But your flesh does. And so you've got to feed that white dog. And say, all right, we're not going there. That's just my flesh. I could react to that, but that's not me. That's not what's in my soul. That's my flesh wanting to react. The law of sin is a lot more than what some might think. We automatically think, well, it's adultery and murder and this and that and drinking and going out to the bars. It's a whole lot more than that. Some of the worst sinners that I know go to church and never commit an immoral act. But they're puffed up with pride. And they look down their noses on everybody else. In questions and answers, Brother Branham says, Paul said, then with my mind, and he's dealing with a question on Romans chapter 7. Paul said then, with my mind, and I have the mind of Christ, you see, I serve God with my mind, but my flesh How did he word it there at the last? But with the flesh, the law of sin. What is it? My flesh says tonight, you are too tired. You thought I made this up. Your throat is too sore. You've been out in the wind today. You shall not go to church tonight. That's your flesh talking. Your soul didn't say that. You shall not go to church tonight. That's the law of the flesh. You just might as well call them up and tell Brother Neville that. Send the questions down and tell him to answer them. So Brother Branham's telling you. How many times did we hear him say that? You know, it was a wind blowing and my head's bald and that's why I got a cold. He actually believed that. Evidently you do too, because you sound kind of surprised. Wind doesn't cause a cold. A virus does. The wind can blow on you all day long. And if there's no virus there... That's the law of the flesh. You just might as well call them up and tell Brother Neville that. Send the questions down and tell him to answer them. But you see, I promised to do it, see? Now my mind on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, you keep your promise. But the flesh said, oh no, you're too tired. Anybody been there? It's about every Sunday for me. Never imagined it would be. You're too tired, see? The flesh says, now, there's no need. You pretty little thing. You're the prettiest little thing in school. Now, don't you pay attention to that holy roller mother of yours or that fanatic father. See, you're the best looking girl in school. What is that? That's the law of the flesh. You're the prettiest boy. The prettiest look, the best looking boy. The best built. You're the most popular there is in the city, you see. And you yield your members to that. And where do you come out at? The little end of the horn every time. When you yield your members to that, what happens? The law of sin can cause you to avoid people. Yeah. Been there, done that. The law of sin can cause you to react according to the flesh. The law of sin can let something bother you and fester and work itself into a complex. Oh, what did he mean by that? That's the law of sin. Okay, this is what he meant. Well, what did he mean by that? This? Well, why that? Where's the end of it? Complexes are built by the law of sin. Not telling somebody the truth that they need to hear. Now, you're not lying to them, so you justify that. But not telling them what they need to hear, because it might make you uncomfortable, it might make them uncomfortable, it might make you both uncomfortable. That's the law of sin. Telling you to avoid that when the scripture tells you otherwise. The law of sin can work in you to convince you that nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. Nobody wants to be your friend. That's the law of sin. The law of death. The law of sin can cause you to fear. And then paralyze your faith for a season. Because fear paralyzes your faith. And you're a believer, so you have faith. If you weren't a believer, you wouldn't have faith. But your faith can be paralyzed by fear. And it's because of the law of the flesh, the law of sin. Again, he says, Paul said, my flesh wants to always yield to that. Your flesh does too, he says. See, but the law of the Spirit of God in the heart overcomes the flesh and makes the body obey what the heart says do. It doesn't mean they're in agreement, because they aren't. But the law that's in the soul, the law that's in the Spirit of God, will make the flesh obey what the heart says. He says, hallelujah. Look, then if it will do that for a sinner, then won't it do that for sickness too? The law of the Spirit of God in the heart knows that by His stripes we are healed. We were healed. They stand with their power to make that sickness in that body obey them, because it's a devil. There you are, he says. That's got cream on it that deep. I tell you, that's it. Hallelujah. Friends, we're not talking tonight about believing false doctrine. We're not talking about committing adultery. We're not talking this law that's a law in the flesh. It's a law that wants to work against what the heart says to do. Overcoming then is you putting on the outside what's on the inside. It's you occupying those other two realms with what's on the inside. It's you bringing the outer realm into subjection to what's on the inner realm without converting the outer realm. That's why we're going to get a new body. That'll be the full healing and conversion of that outer man. But until then, you're bringing this guy into subjection to the Word of God. Amen. So your body does not automatically line up with the leading that's in your heart. Just because you're born again, your body's not going to want to cooperate necessarily. And that's why your body needs a governor. And that governor is the Holy Spirit. What is in your soul is overcoming what is in your body. Now, friends, the Spirit of God wants to rule over that flesh. And you surrender to the Spirit of God, and then the flesh comes in line with the Spirit. But it doesn't mean that it likes it. Does it always make you happy to go say I'm sorry to somebody? Sometimes it's pretty rough. Sometimes it takes your hide off, right? Now, afterwards, you're glad that you did. But the flesh, you know, I remember as kids, my parents, we'd be fussing and fighting and, you know, doing different things. And then we'd come screaming to mom, screaming to dad. We'd come to the governor and we want justice. And we want, you know, God to wipe sister off the map or lock up brother and take away all his privileges. Beat them black and blue. And my parents invariably, they would try as hard as they could not to take sides, and they'd try to resolve whatever the difference was that was between us. And then they'd always do this. All right, now shake hands. I don't want to do that. He's an idiot. He just hurt me. Now I'm supposed to shake his hand? And then to add insult to injury, now give him a hug. Your flesh don't want to do that. But you know what? I have to agree with the genius of that. Because maybe it didn't sound, you know, like it came from your heart. Sorry. You know, shake hands or give a little, you know. But something begins to change, right? Just the act of doing that, and your flesh starts to get over it a little bit. Unless you're the murdering type. Oh my. Notice this. Continuing on with the same question. Now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says do. That's exactly right. Now, that's what Paul said. Always the flesh. I'm too tired. I'm unable. I'm not sufficient. I can't do it. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 18. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, for that which I would do not, for what I would, that I would not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, unto the law, consent to the law, that it is good. Then, now then, it is no more that I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The person that wrote this says, I cannot understand. I'm so glad that they asked these kind of questions. I cannot understand. He says, well, they wrote out the scripture. He says, that's Paul speaking to the Romans. Now, he said, let me just kind of polish it up so that you can see. He said, in me is two persons. Was Paul bipolar? In me is two persons. Right. One wants me to do wrong. The other wants me to do. And every time I start to do right, then wrong hinders me. How many of you people on the interviews this afternoon has run into the same thing in this morning? Same thing. I spoke of it on it this morning temporarily, he says. He says, you are an outward man, which is controlled by six senses. You are an inward man, controlled by one sense, which is faith. And this faith disagrees with all six senses. And if the six senses doesn't agree with faith, one is contrary to the other. Now, as long as the six senses agree with faith, wonderful. But when the six senses disagrees with faith, then leave the six senses alone. Now, for instance, here Jesus made a statement, a promise. The inside man says, that's true. The outside man reasons that it can't be true to you. Notice, the outside man isn't saying, that ain't true. The outside man saying, that won't work for me. Then ignores the outside man and accepts the inside man. Now, that's the same thing that Paul's speaking of. He was sold under the law to carnal sin. Every one of us is the same. That's the reason we have the troubles that we do. I've married four or five times and this and that and all kinds of sin and adulteries and everything else along in our lives is because of those things. Now, he's talking about you before you're converted, the law of sin reigning in your body, but you were a slave to it at that time. He says, we are carnal. And that part must perish. But then inside, we are a spirit man, a soul inside. And that's faith in God's word. Then we bring our outside body under subjection to the word by faith, by accepting what God said. Hallelujah. So you are no longer a slave to the law of sin, but the law of sin and death is still there. You are converted, and so that life that's in your soul, it's not going to let you do the things that you might have done otherwise. I don't believe you will commit adultery. I don't believe you will commit a murder. But it's not because the flesh got good. Your flesh is the same flesh that it was. But it's because you're spiritual in the soul. And the desire that was in the soul to do those things is gone. And you can't be forced to do it. But the flesh still works according to the law of sin and must be brought into submission to the word. The flesh will still desire to do things that are not, that maybe are not, we wouldn't call it sinful, but it's not the will of God. The flesh will say, you just got prayed for. You've got symptoms in your body. You got a fever. You're burning up. Your white blood cell count is up. You got this ache and that pain. You just got prayed for. And the flesh is saying, but you don't feel any better. Yet you were prayed for. That's your flesh talking to you. But your faith says, I know that these symptoms are in my body. I'm not going to deny that. I know what I feel in my flesh. I know that the fever might still be there. But I am healed in my soul. It's been declared. And so I'm not going to listen to what my flesh is telling me. And my flesh is going to line up to what my faith is declaring. And those symptoms will go away. And you will see me whole again and healed again. Amen. But the flesh can still be burning up. Again, he says, how can I take a... We read this before, but it's right in there with it, so I just want to go over it again. How can I take a cockle burr and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside the cockle burr has been transmitted from a cockle burr wheat. A cockle burr to a germ called wheat life. So you took the life that was inside the cockle burr, took it out, and put a different kind of life on the inside, called wheat. And the life of the cockle burr has been taken out, but the nature of the cockle burr is still sticky. The cockle burr is still going to stick to things. Why? Because it's sticky. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up. It'll be that way until you have a new body. Your new body isn't sticky. When it comes forth, then it's no more a cockle burr, but wheat, but wheat. But while it's here on the earth and out of the earth and a cockle burr, it's still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of it of wheat. Praise the Lord. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky. And have a carnal nature that's going to bother you. Notice it's there, but it bothers you. Before you were converted, it didn't bother you. Now it bothers you. It's going to bother you as long as you live, but inside of you, you're born again. It doesn't mean you're going to give in to it. It means you're going to battle with it because it's going to want you to give in to it. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ, and all sin is gone from you in your soul, and that's the thing. Someone told me he had one time he was converted. Now he's speaking about an Indian chief here that you're probably familiar with this story, but so he doesn't in this particular telling, call it out, but he speaks of it in other places. Someone told me he had one time was converted, received the Holy Ghost. And he said to him, how you getting along? And he says, pretty good and pretty bad. He said, well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good? He said, well, since me received the Holy Ghost, he said, there's been two dogs in me. One of them's a black dog, and one of them's a white dog. And said, they argue all the time. Said, they growl, and they fight at one another. And said, the white dog wants me to do good. The black dog wants me to do bad. And said, well, chief, which one of them wins the fight? Said, well, that depends on which one chief feeds the most. Amen. So I think that's a good answer here. See, there just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to, the carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God, and that does it. Now, friends, you can't war against the law that's in the flesh if there's no new nature in you. If you still have the old nature, there's no war. All three realms are in agreement. But when you're changed in the soul, now there's a war. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love the word of God. I love the ways of God. But my flesh struggles to come under submission. It struggles. It will be brought under submission. There's no question about that. But the flesh says, do I have to? Right? Do I have to shake his hand? Yeah. Do I have to forgive? In the soul, you're ready to forgive. In the flesh, you've got a memory. In the flesh, you've got reasoning. In the flesh, well, you know, how many times has he done this now? Well, he's not sincere. What if he's lying to me? That's in the flesh. In the soul, you want it over. You don't want to hold anything against anybody. You don't want anything held against you. In the soul, no problemo. It's a done deal. But you got to drag that flesh to come under that law, to do what's right. I was joking with somebody here the other day. God bless you, by the way. You hear somebody sneeze and you say, God bless you, or now you want to run. Ah! For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Of course you do. You want to be everything that the Word of God declares is good and right. You want to see it manifested in your members. You want to be the manifestation of that, don't you? In the inward man. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He says again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When you're minding the things of the Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're praying, when you're reading your Bible, when you're in heavenly places, you don't want to do the things of the flesh. You want to do the things that are pleasing according to the Spirit. Right? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So it's battling against you. Now you will do what's right. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Listen to Paul here. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is not a guy with a complex. This is not Paul before his conversion. He didn't say, now wait, hold on. This is Saul speaking. I haven't seen the pillar of fire yet. This is what I said in 18 AD or whatever. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I want out. Stop the world. I want to get off. I want out of this pest house. Look, if you don't want out of this pest house, there's something wrong with you. This is a pest house. It's a sanitarium. Or an insanitarium. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? You, Brother Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles? Is that you talking? Then he gives us the answer a few verses later in the next chapter. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's your refuge. There's your peace. There's your joy. Walk in heavenly places. Walk after the Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody looks good. Brother Baker, I was in service here the other night. I almost said amen. You know, you'll feel better on Monday if you say amen on Sunday. Almost shouted. Hey, I've been there. There was a time when From the time I was 6 until I was 28, the thought even of shouting in church was not a thought. I would have never done that. I wouldn't have done anything to make myself conspicuous. And I didn't want to do anything that wasn't, God causing me to do it. And I had so much self-control that God couldn't do it. Last thing in the world I wanted to do was be a holy roller. Didn't know what it was, but didn't understand it. But let God get a hold of you. Let him begin working on you. I remember first time I spoke in tongues. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for about 3 years. I didn't speak in tongues at the altar. I wasn't looking for any specific evidence. Well, yeah, I was looking for some evidence. I was looking for God to tell me that I was his. And that I was going to make it. That he was going to keep me. And he did that and a whole lot more. But I didn't speak in tongues. And, you're kind of afraid. You've been taught to be afraid of the supernatural. What a reproach, right? Pillar of fire returns to the church here in the evening time. We're supposed to be scared of it because of what some hypocrite did. Wasn't sent to the hypocrite. It was sent for you. We should be afraid of fire. Not if it's Holy Ghost fire. Brother Branham, they about ruined that service with all their amens. Brother Branham said, any service that could be ruined with an amen ought to be ruined. Oh, when that woman screamed, it sent a chill up my back. Well, you don't want to go where I'm going then. Because this is the quietest place you'll ever be. You go to hell, they'll be screaming, wailing, gnashing of teeth. You go to heaven, you're going to hear some shouting. Hallelujah. I was afraid to let go. But I was driving down the freeway coming home from work and, driving a 72 Toyota pickup. I paid $500 for it, and I bought it from a couple of girls that, what was I thinking? A couple of teenage girls that used to use it to go to the beach and whatever, and it had a nice paint job on it, and, $500. So we get it, and, the engine seized up in about a week, and found out that, after the fact that they would go to the beach and, all of a sudden the no oil indicator would come on. When it reaches that stage, there's already been damage that's been done, right? So, of course, they put oil in it, right? They put baby oil in it because they didn't have motor oil. Well, baby oil, motor oil, Crisco oil, what's the difference? Believe me, there's a difference. It has a lower melting point, burning point. It's sticky. It shouldn't be on your body, let alone in your engine. It's for babies. Duh. Seized up. We ended up rebuilding the engine and, drove it for another 300,000 miles, I think. Left it in the Bay Area. But when I was living in the Bay Area, so this is a 72, we're living up there, it's in the 90s and early 90s, and I'm driving this old pickup to work, and it's got drum brakes on it, and the freeway is just hectic. You got to watch it. You can't watch the person in front of you. It's too late if you're reacting to that. You got to watch several cars in front of you to know what's going on, especially if you don't have disc brakes. So I'm driving this thing, and it's aggravating and it's nerve-wracking to the 10 miles back and forth to work on the freeway, which I don't know why they call it a freeway. It's a parking lot. But I saw an accident every day. And I'm coming home from work on this particular day, and I turn on the radio, and Harold Camping is on the radio, and I'm thinking, why do I do this to myself? You want to listen to something, and, so I put it on. There's an 8-track player there. There's no 8-track tape to listen to, so there's a radio. So I turn it on, and this Family Life radio is in Oakland, and Harold Camping gets on there, and shall we take our next caller, And some of the stuff, the questions they ask, he gives good answers to. But when it comes to anything supernatural, he's like, that's of the devil. And I'm like, why did I turn that on? Well, this particular day, I'm coming home from work, and there was a Christian song that was playing on the radio, and it was something that we used to sing in the Baptist church. It was a song I was familiar with, but it never resonated with me. I don't remember today what it was, but it was a song that I had went through the motions of singing for years. But all of the sudden, whatever the inspiration was, it was on that song. All of the sudden, it was my song. Anybody ever had that experience? All of a sudden, those words were exactly what was in my soul. And I just started praising the Lord, and I ran out of words. And I took my hands off the steering wheel, you know. Everybody else is crazy. Why not just join in? Five lanes, you know, and people are doing their makeup and shaving and reading their newspaper and whatever. I took my hands off the wheel, and I don't know if anybody saw or not, and tears were falling. My hands weren't off the wheel for very long, but the next thing I know, I was speaking another language. All I know was, and I don't know what I was saying. All I know that was what was coming out of my heart. I ran out of words to praise Him. So He gave me another language, and whatever was coming out of my mouth, it was very edifying. It felt, it was wonderful. And yet, I had been taught to kind of be afraid of that. And so, you know, I'd actually felt something like that come up on me prior many times. And you know, you're not sure about it. You want to judge it before it happens. And so, you know, you're afraid to make a mistake. And so, when I wasn't thinking about it, then it took place. And the first time I prophesied was we were in church, and I'd been pastoring for about a year, and this brother stood up and spoke in tongues, and it was at the end of the service. It was completely in order. He spoke in tongues, and I felt like maybe I had the interpretation to it, but I didn't. I just had a couple of words and an unction. I felt that presence come over me, and I'm wondering, well, do I have the interpretation? Should I, and I'm scared, right? I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to do anything that isn't, it's got to be genuine. It's got to be real. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And so, I got like a half a sentence or a sentence and felt this anointing coming over me, but I was afraid, and so I held back, and next thing I know, another brother gets up and says the exact words, the exact words that I was going to say, and then continued on with it. And I wasn't, the Lord wasn't beating me up or beating me down, but I felt like the Lord was gracious to me. And He was saying, well, if you won't let me use you, I'll use somebody else. But in doing so, I'm going to show you that this is me. I'll just give you that little confirmation so that maybe next time, you won't be afraid. What is that? That's the law that's working in the flesh. We can educate this thing so much and put it under so much tradition and straitjackets that it takes a while to break through. But eventually that law that's in the soul, that law that's in the spirit is going to take preeminence over the law that's in that flesh. Praise His wonderful name. Now, I don't know who that was for, but there you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, you'll say things when you're in the Spirit, not hurtful things, but you'll say things when you're in the Spirit that you wouldn't say when you're in the flesh. And you don't feel bad about it, right? But you got to be in the Spirit. Again, I've often thought back here in the spirit of a man, next his soul, next his mind, and then his flesh. He says, all right, Satan does not tempt down here in the soul. He tempts out here in the flesh. For instance, you go down the street tomorrow and you're walking along singing Christian songs, and somebody says, she or he is just a hypocrite, talking about you. There's nothing. Now, the first thing, your flesh picks that up in the ear, and it suggests to the mind, get even with him. You say, that doesn't happen to a born-again believer. This is a born-again believer. flesh picks that up in the ear and suggests to the mind, get even with him. And the time it gets back here, he says, this back here says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's it. So it's, you know, think of yourself like a castle. There's an outer wall. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Rocks being thrown at you. It's got to get past that outer wall to the inner realm. Then once it gets into the inner realm, then it's got to be brought to the throne. Oh, I love this analogy. You want it judged. So you take it to the throne. Brother Branham says, when a brother does you wrong, not you think he did you wrong. You know he did. He did. He's absolutely guilty. Take it to the throne. Get down on your knees in prayer. Go ahead. Start off with, he's a this and that and spank him, Lord. Right? He says, but you stay there. You'll eventually get to the throne. And when you get to the throne, God will show you what that person's going through. God will make you, you'll feel sorry for that other person. And instead of wanting them to be spoken out of existence, instead you'll be saying, Lord, help my brother. Don't hold that against him. I didn't know this or I didn't know that. Forgive my brother. Now you can't do that in the flesh. The flesh will never come to that conclusion. It's in the soul. It's at the throne. So let it come to the throne. If you've been changed, let it come to the throne. And the throne will say, look, don't go there. Okay, somebody spoke evil or whatever. Don't go there. You're not going to take vengeance. You're not going to get even. He says, so Satan tempts out here, you see. He doesn't get down here because it's immortal. See? It's the flesh that he tempts. Young man going down the street, young Christian boy, a young lady coming immorally dressed. Now you can't help that. The eye picks it up. The flesh suggests to the mind evil. Then it gets to the mind and then it goes to the soul. The nature's good in the soul. So the soul of the man is the nature of the spirit, of course. And so when the soul gets there, but the spirit says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after has committed adultery in his heart already, the young man turns his head and walks away. Why? Because what's down in the soul says, turn your head, son of God. That's down here is where it's got to be. Not out here. It's got to be down in your heart where it's got to come from. Where God lives. Now, if you haven't been feeding your soul, there might be a little bit of a battle in the flesh. It might go on a little longer than it should. But the battle will be won. Oh, don't look at me that way, friends. I've had brothers many, many years ago, over the years, come up to me and say, Brother Baker, I'm battling with a spirit of lust, and would you pray for me? And I want God to take that desire from me, or whatever it might be. And they told me that they were born again of the Spirit. So I realized that you've got a battle in your flesh, and that maybe the devil's trying to convince you that since you're a red-blooded male, you must be, an adulterer, since you're constructed in such a way that when a woman is not dressed properly, that your eye is naturally going to catch that. And so the devil tells you that since your eye caught that, that, you might as well go do it because you're guilty of it already. And you're guilty of it because you're a sinner and there was no change that took place in your life. So I've prayed with brothers like that, and only to find out years later that they end up doing something like that. And the reason they did it is because there was nothing in the soul. There was no conversion. What they didn't tell me was that they wanted to do it. So in other words, God, take that desire out of my heart. The only way he can take that desire out of your heart is to change your heart.
Amen.
It's not in your heart. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, your heart doesn't want to do it. Your heart doesn't want to take another woman into your arms if you're married, or take a woman that isn't your wife into your arms. Your heart doesn't want to do it. Your flesh can be tempted. Jesus' flesh was. Go ahead and get quiet. He was tempted in all ways. And there was no sinful, there was no sin that was committed. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Passed all three tests. But he was tempted. He was tempted by food. He was hungry. That was his weak spot. Commanded these stones to be turned into bread. That was tempting. If it wasn't tempting, then this is all a joke. And if he wasn't tempted, then he doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what it feels like.
Amen.
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 So somebody says, well, where's your discernment? I don't know if you're born again or not. You say, but I thought you had this. The scripture says, I will write a new name on a white stone that only you know. Yeah, that shows you who you are. You know that you've passed from death unto life. That's all that you need to know, is whether you are born again. You make your calling and election sure. So if we're going to play that game, then what about Paul? What about the ones that walked away, that went this way and that way? What about Judas? Right? You don't know what somebody's going to do or not do. Come on. So we prayed with people, and I know the Lord has helped them when they've had that battle, and the devil is beating them down, telling them, you're that way anyway, and so you might as well give into it or whatever. And they've wanted prayer, and we prayed with them, and I believe God has helped them to have the victory. But then there's been others that some of the same others later on, well, God, if you don't want me to do such and such, then stop me. He ain't going to do no such thing because you want to do it. And for you to venture without authority is iniquity. For you to step forward and say, I'm going to do this, and Lord, if you don't want me to do it, stop it. What you're doing is what you want to do. What we need to do is say, Lord, show me whether to do it or not. I'm not doing nothing until you show me. Because I'm not venturing without authority. I don't want to go presuming. Well, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, I know this is a little touchy, a little sticky, but this is where we live. This is where the battles are. As long as you have your own thoughts, your ways are contrary to God's ways. And you cannot be right and think your own thoughts, for you've got to die to your own thoughts. Do you know that? Your thoughts. As long as you look at it, you'll look at it materially, and you say, oh, well, that can't happen. It's just not reasonable. It's not sensible to even think such a thing. You get to a place where you cannot think your own ways, your ways, but come into Christ and think his way of thinking, take his words, then things begin to shape different. For you are dead and your life is hidden God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, what the flesh says, but walk after the Spirit. Amen. The church said?
Amen.
Amen. He goes on to say, and human is an animal. The man, the flesh part, is animal flesh. We know that. We're a mammal. It's a warm-blooded animal. We know that. But what makes the difference? The animal does not have the inward soul, but the human does. And so the animal don't know right from wrong. Again, in the Message Thirst, he says, there's a control tower of the soul, and there's one for the body. And each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for which the caller is calling for. It sends out a wave of warning. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that are in the body, and the spirit desires for the things that are in the soul. Desire is, and many times, these war one against the other. We find there what's a great trouble today, that too many people try to live between those two desires. Now, I believe that he's speaking here of somebody that's saved. But if you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost, if you don't die out, if you don't become converted, you will try to live between these two desires. For one of them desires the things of the earth, and the other desires the things of heaven. For the law, Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, it doesn't mean that the law of sin and death is no longer something that you have to contend with. It just means you're free from it, right? You're not bound by it any longer. You don't have to serve it. You're not a slave to it. Amen? But it will war against your soul. Oh, friends, some of you are wondering, I don't know about this. Then what are you warring against? Oh, I forgot. You've already been raptured. Okay, the rest of us that I can see here in the building. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Time to change series, huh? I can remember particularly in the early days of my walk, I thought Satan could read my mind. Anybody else ever feel that way? You know, you have a thought and you think everybody knows your thought. Satan knows your thought. God knows your thought. You know your thought. And then on top of that, how do you know what's your thought and what's the devil's thought and what's God's thought? And how do you know who's speaking? How do I know, Lord, what part of me was supposed to be converted by the new birth? And what part won't change until I get a new body? Anybody else wonder that? Paul deals with these things. And we need to know. We need to know the answers to these things, right? Otherwise, the devil will run you ragged. See, there are laws that we're working according to. And if you don't know the laws, you don't know what to expect, right? When I worked as at Raytheon, I'd have a problem where, you know, a circuit is built and it receives a very high frequency radio wave and comes in, and there's some processing that takes place. It gets down converted, comes out at a lower frequency, then strips some information off of that, the message that was encoded on it, the data that it was carrying on the carrier, and bring it down from a heavenly frequency down to an earthly frequency so we can deal with it, right? And so I would work. There are laws that govern how a radio wave propagates and what kind of material that it'll propagate through and how it behaves and whether it'll be reflected or absorbed or whether it'll pass through. There are laws that govern all of that. There's all kinds of laws. So if I built that circuit according to the theory and according to the laws that I knew, and it didn't work, Well, I wouldn't give up on the laws. I wouldn't give up and say, well, I guess, you know, this is impossible. I guess this doesn't work. Or I guess it's just special for some people. What I would do was realize that I'm working according to laws, find out what law I violated. Find out what law is being violated. You know, maybe I don't have the circuit hooked up. Well, it's not going to work if you don't hook it up. Why? Because the law says that. Right? So I wouldn't lose confidence. I knew that there had to be an answer, but I couldn't see it, feel it, taste it. But I knew that there were laws that I was working according. Friends, the same thing's true in the faith realm, in the spiritual realm. We are working according to spiritual laws. If I am sick and I'm in need of healing, and I make my request known, but maybe I'm anointed with oil, or maybe I ask for prayer or whatever, and I don't get healed, do I give up on healing? Do I say, well, I guess it wasn't for me? No, what I do is I go back and check the wiring. I go back and make sure that I did what I was supposed to do. You know, that there's no unconfessed sin in my life, that I took God at his word, that I believed. And if that's true, then I hold out, knowing that even though it's unseen, it has to happen because I'm working according to laws. And you know, the thing about laws is they don't care who you are. The laws don't care if you're smart, if you're dumb, if you're tall, if you're short, if you're thin, if you're not thin. The laws don't care. They don't care what language you speak. They don't care what hang-ups that you might have. They don't care how loud you are, how quiet you are, how educated you are. They don't care. Laws are laws. So if you work according to the laws, you should expect certain results. Same thing is true with the law of sin and death. It's in the flesh. It's predictable. Right? And you learn to recognize that. And you learn how to bring that into subjection. You learn how to keep that from being you know that it's wrong to take somebody's head off, right? Verbally speaking. I hope you know that it's wrong physically. Right? So maybe something that you wouldn't have even given thought to before you were converted, now you give thought to. Because down on in the soul, you've learned the other law. And the other law is, you know, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Don't rail against somebody that's railing against you. Bring a soft answer when somebody speaks sharply to you, right? I mean, there's so many. These are all laws, and you had to learn them, right? And you're operating according to them. And the desire is in your heart to work according to these laws. And they're written in your heart. But you've got to learn to. You got to learn to recognize, you know what, it's the flesh that wants to snap back. It's the flesh that's satisfied with that. And maybe you aren't prayed up, feeding the white dog, and maybe you give in to that. And then you feel like the lowest. If you're converted, you'll feel like the lowest little thing, and you'll make that right. And it'll tear you up until you do, right? Because there's another law that's working in you, right? So you learn to recognize these things, and you learn to, it never goes away, right? Somebody calls you ugly, you're never going to say hallelujah. It may bring you to tears when you're younger and you're not mature in the faith. And it won't bring you to tears later on in life, but you never get to the place where your flesh says, that's just what I wanted to hear. Your flesh reacts. But in the soul, you say, I ain't going there. That's just the flesh. Besides, I know I'm good looking. Hallelujah. No accounting for taste. Amen. Does this help? Praise the Lord. Overcoming by the word. If the musicians would make their way up, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but Thee. Resurrection power, come fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus.